right, and welcome to another program of Out and About. Now, in our last program of Out and About, I talked with various people whom I met last June 2019, when I attended the Sustainable Energy Communities National event in Athlone, which was organised by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. Staying with that event, here's another person I met at it.
Cormac Walsh from Energy Cooperatives Ireland.
Cormac, what is the Energy Cooperatives Ireland, in brief, all about?
Okay. Well, essentially, it is whereby a community comes together. It has a formal structure whereby we can all get into a room together and we can decide what projects, energy projects related, we want to do. So it's a formal structure. It's the same kind of structure that farming cooperatives have over the years, whereby there's one member, one vote, there's monthly meetings, and it's all open and transparent.
Right, so in other words, it gives the structure to the community to put the administration or apparatus in place so that they can get busy, proactively busy, meeting the challenge of climate change.
100%. And the reality is that we've got to all work together much quicker than we ever did before. And this is a vehicle that is audited every year. We help construct you. We help advise you, and it has great examples. We've got the Iron Islands as a great example. We've got Clare Morris Energy Cooperative. There's Galway Cooperative, Kerry Energy Cooperative, and a new one on Valentia Island starting in the next couple of months. So we have worked to actually create the example on the ground of how
best practice model
who have succeeded in producing results. And, I mean, just very quick one on the Iron Islands, they have over 70% of their building stock, and that means houses, it means community halls, bed and breakfasts, etc., all retrofitted to a very high SEAI standard. So now you've got a sustainable scenario moving forward, and they're so confident now that they are actually looking to go into energy production. So the idea is they have now got community support for a 2.2 megawatt wind turbine. So it's still going through its processes, and hopefully planning will be received in the next few years. But that is the kind of potential, and they would own that.
Of the community, by the community, yeah. For the community. I know it's a community wind generator. It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, but it also could be a solar farm. It could be anaerobic digestion. So taking waste from the community and actually, so it depends on what the location is that would suit the technology best. And one of these sustainable energy communities that we're here today talking about, one of those communities are actually given a set of money. So it could be 10,000, it could be 15,000, it could be 20,000 or 25,000 to get a detailed energy master plan done for the area. So a circle is drawn around your area, and that is now your defined area. And then the SEAI come along and they give you access to this funding. You then get a consultant.
Based on the master plan, because obviously the master plan, it's an in-depth analysis of what the situation is regarding energy in their community.
In their community. And it would differ very much from the community 10 kilometres away or 20 kilometres away or whatever, or on the other side of the country. So it all depends. And the beauty about that is it gives you a blueprint for the next 10 years to be able to go back to the SEAI, and you choose, the community chooses, which projects they want to prioritise. So they're doing that and they're coming back to the SEAI to get funding on a continuous rolling basis. So then there is work being done this year, next year, following year. And so there's the momentum that is critical in all of this kind of energy scenario, because usually they take years. But this then, once you have your energy master plan in place in front of you, there's your blueprint, and there's what you can get the community momentum in behind. So a cooperative works hand in glove with once that document is done. So an SEC is formed, and the cooperative model is the vehicle, and it allows you to open up your arms to the whole community and look for more people to join and more people to join. So you don't want just 5 or 6 or 10 people running this thing. You want 50 or 60 people involved in it and benefiting out of it. So that's how the spread can be achieved.
Right. And Cormac, I mean, you're at the coalface, so to speak, mm-hmm. Dealing with communities throughout Ireland. What are the challenges, the big challenges you're facing in the work to, from the master plan to reality, so to speak?
Well, there's many, many obstacles that have been there that hopefully the government will now, they've just launched their climate action change plan. Some of those actions will help remove some of the real obstacles that are there. And what that I mean is, let's say tomorrow morning we had a wind farm, and you would have to get access to the grid to make that economic or even possible. So there's now going to be priorities for communities to actually allow this type of thing to happen.
So in other words, the community gets a tariff, they get paid for their energy, whereas beforehand it didn't happen. It's in the pipeline.
Everything's in the pipeline, and actually just getting grid access is a huge issue. So in other words, it's the plug in the wall, so you're the plug, and you have to go and put it into the wall to put your power into the bigger grid for the whole country. And getting that is very cumbersome and whatever. So a lot of these things are the government actually deciding they're in control of these things. So that is what's got to change.
Policy.
And that is now beginning to change. It's only being started, so we don't know exactly, you know, how well it'll work, but it is planned to be started soon. So therefore it's in train, shall we say.
Because in countries like Germany, I've been told by the experts, you know, there's a huge proportion, I don't know what the figure is, but 50% or whatever, you know, don't quote me on that, you know, but it's a very high proportion of the wind energy that's generated is community-owned.
It's community-owned, which is a fantastic thing. We've just been hearing Søren from Denmark explaining how the community has come together over the last 10 years.
That's Søren Hermansen from the community of Samsø in Denmark. Søren Hermansen was the keynote speaker at the Sustainable Energy Communities event in Athlone last June. Now here's what Cormac Walsh had to say about how Samsø in Denmark is proactively meeting the challenge of climate change.
Wind is a huge component of what they have done, but it's now community electric vehicles. They have a whole variety of benefits that the community has actually seen, and it has been step by step by step. But they took the initiative. They had a vision. And that's what communities need now, is to actually become stronger. They need to become more organised. They need to be a vision, need to be seen what they can do for their small area as well as the bigger picture, i.e. for the country as a whole. But we need to show that communities can benefit from all of this work on the ground. If it's going into a project that is developed and nobody knows where the benefits of that are, go, then why would a community get in behind this? Why? So we need to turn that on its head. And one of the key things to doing that is having a vehicle like a cooperative. And that's what we have available to people, and we will help them along the way and do whatever we need to do to make that happen.
That's where your group, you know, the Energy Cooperatives Ireland comes in, because you can, you know, the people can, there's listeners tuned in, they're probably saying to themselves, you know what, now, maybe this might be a runner in our community, a sustainable energy community, maybe I should contact Cormac Walsh of Energy Cooperatives Ireland. How did you go about it, Cormac, please?
Okay, well, we have obviously a website, which would be energycoops.ie. There's a hyphen between the CO and the OPS for sugar, .ie. But if you just go on to the internet and just look for Energy Cooperatives Ireland, and you'll find it. And then if you wanted to become an SEC, a Sustainable Energy Community, the SEAI website will show you all the details about that and how to register for that. And then all the supports then begin to kick in.
Right, so the cooperative first, then the SEC, then supports down the line once you get up and going.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can do it either way. You mean you could become an SEC first, and then you could become a cooperative, but either way, we're happy. You know what I mean? But they just work beautifully together, because funding is a big thing of this down the line when you want to do a project, etc. And a vehicle like a cooperative, you're formally structured, you're formally audited every year.
As you said, it's transparent, you know, and the estate agencies know where the money is going. Yep. The wheel has been, it doesn't have to be invented,
no.
And so on.
The beauty about this, the cooperative model is exactly the same as the farming cooperative model. And that industry actually has a turnover of 14 billion per annum. So in other words, all the big ones that we've heard of, you know what I mean, the Kerry Foods and all these guys, but much smaller ones, do you know what I mean, through credit unions, a lot of them are all cooperatives, etc., etc., all these people combined has an annual turnover of 14 billion per annum. So can we name an industry that has that kind of turnover that's an Irish? So it's a huge success story. So the rules that we're having for an energy cooperative are identical.
And here's what Cormac Walsh had to say about the satisfaction factor derived from his pro bono work helping local energy cooperatives get set up in order that they can meet the challenge of climate change in their communities.
There is an absolute satisfaction because we started off 9 years ago in relation to the Aran Islands, and it's a story that when you see a community coming together and actually realising the potential, and they then get to a point where they want to go to the next stages and the next stages, the confidence level in the group and the wider group then becomes demanding. And then you're talking about climate change and how can the community do something. Now all of a sudden you're seeing communities chomping at the bit to get a project up and running. Now we have the vehicle, now we have some knowledge, now we have some assistance, now we want to do the next step. And when that happens, then there is a fantastic sense of this is something good, because you can see people going through the steps of confidence and kind of going, yeah, we want to go beyond that now. We want to do our bit for the country and the world, etc., etc. And now they have a way of doing that, as opposed to just being a disjointed group of people who meet in the pub every few months and whatever. So now we as a community can do our bit.
And Cormac had this to say about the huge benefits in a community getting its own energy master plan done.
We all need something, a story to follow. We all need to be able to kind of be clear in what we're looking to achieve. One of these energy master plans actually gives the clarity, the simple, straightforward clarity. So it just gives that sort of the community group, it gives them a clear steer, because
it's a roadmap.
It's a simple, straightforward roadmap that we can all follow. And there's ups and there's downs and there's ins and there's outs, but there's our roadmap and we look to follow it over 10 years. So you're not talking about something that starts and finishes next year. No, it's an ongoing rolling programme.
Incremental, and we can take it, as you said, prioritise. We might do the retrofitting first, then we'll go for the wind farm or the solar panels or whatever it may be that suits our community, but we're going to make it work for ourselves and cut our claw to measure.
Absolutely, and each community who do one of these SEC energy master plans, they can be different from the one 20 miles away, 20 kilometres away, because of the conditions are different and the scenarios and the people are different. So it all varies and it allows that flexibility. There's no one fit for every single community. It allows for this flexibility, and one group would be interested in a solar farm or a wind farm or something like that, and another absolutely not. So it allows for all of that.
And for those of you who've just tuned in, I'm Paul Wright and you're listening to Out and About. Thus far in the programme, I've been talking with Cormac Walsh of Energy Cooperatives Ireland. When I met him last June at the Sustainable Energy Communities event in Athlone, which was organised by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. Cormac Walsh has been discussing the vital importance of communities throughout Ireland in helping the country to transition to a green energy future. Now, staying with my interview with him, here's what he had to say about some of the community groups which he's worked with in recent times.
Another group is in Claremorris, for instance, in Mayo. They are hooking up with Mayo County Council, and they're in the process. They have already got planning application and a grid access for a 5 megawatt solar farm. So that's wow. Already in place. And then we have the group, they're also a cooperative. But then a new one down on Valentia Island. They're setting up their energy cooperative, and that they're centering their. They've done their energy master plan. They are looking to do hydrogen in their community.
Hydrogen. Hydrogen. Wow.
There you go.
How would that work?
Well, it would work. You can produce hydrogen which can heat buildings, houses, hotels, etc. And you're producing hydrogen from renewable energy. So on one hand, you have solar power or wind power or anaerobic digestion power, and you're creating hydrogen using that renewable energy source. So once you have the hydrogen produced, you can power cars, trucks, trains, and worldwide hydrogen is one of the next big technologies that will allow the world to meet the targets that are being set. Because if you can vision this, it's we had a big community event on Valentia Island last month, and we had Ireland's only hydrogen car outside the door, and people could kick the tires and they could see it, and they could, it's a Toyota Mirai, it's called. And the idea is that you would be able to have renewable energy to produce the gas to go into the car, which then has water coming out the back of it. And so you're talking about how to decarbonize the country, the community, the world. Hydrogen will allow for that kind of scenario to take place, and a community and a country to begin to hit its targets. So hydrogen is going to work hand in glove with electric vehicles. So it's not going to be one or the other. It will be the emerging technology that people will actually begin to hear much more about over the next couple of years. And it's where governments around the world are really focusing a lot of their attention. Japan, for instance, has absolutely put its faith on hydrogen for everything. The Olympics coming up next year will be totally, all the cars will be hydrogen, the buildings will be heated. It's going to be a major, major, major component.
Showcase for hydrogen. Showcase.
So it's one of the next technologies that would help us to reach some of these targets.
But even with these technologies and, and Godspeed, the technological advance, there's no silver bullet. That's what I've been told by all the experts. I put a small caveat in there, or spanner in the works. But that said, there's great work going on, and long may it continue. We still have to reduce, reuse, recycle, and get more renewables.
Absolutely.
And reduce and live alternative. Am I right,
100%. No, that's exactly right. The first steps is for the community to actually see work being done. Reduce, reuse, all of this is a critical component because it's something that we can do very quickly. The other technologies like hydrogen, etc., they're all coming down the track, but they'll take a few years to really begin to become much more visible. But so the easiest things to do is exactly what you've described. But the community need to have a vehicle to actually make these things happen and benefit from them. They need to see cleaner streets. They need to see electric vehicles going around delivering food, for instance, from the shops, etc., etc. All these simple things, getting charge points in their community. This is now all happening. So, and the community group can be formed around a cooperative to allow that kind of stuff to happen.
And to allow it to happen in a controlled by them. They're the masters of their own destiny. Mm-hmm. And they're, creating their own future and not beholden to slaves to the future, so to speak.
That's exactly it.
An unknown, unpredictable future.
Yeah, I mean, people resent the fact that these sort of things are foistered on top of them and they have to just roll over. We've got a history of this in Ireland and people object to that kind of scenario happening. This kind of situation that we're talking about, grassroots up to the top, is the community taking control and allowing themselves to actually be the masters of what goes on in their community. And it is a very satisfying sort of scenario to see that going on in the communities that we're talking about today.
Cormac, we've just been talking about creating sustainable energy communities throughout Ireland. I mean, what's your vision for Ireland for the future? Say by the year 2030 or thereabouts, what would you like to see on the ground in towns, villages, communities throughout the land?
Well, the first thing to say, Paul, is that the current Sustainable Energy Communities programme has 294 communities signed up through the SEAI. So this work has been going on over the last 2 or 3 years. People on the ground know about it, but there are a lot of people who wouldn't know yet about it. That figure is, in the next couple of years, will actually rise to 500 communities. And what I would love to see is every part of the country represented and organised to have their own renewable energy production. They're obviously looking to reduce as well first, but then, you know, solar on roofs, solar farms perhaps outside of the town, even wind farms. Some people are in favour and some people are not. That's okay.
But if it's community-owned, there's going to be a huge incentive for the community to make this happen.
And that is the direction that the government are looking to move in. They're creating this renewable energy support scheme that will actually allow for communities to own and run their own
and connect to the grid.
And connect to the grid and get the benefits from that to pay off their project. And then over time, they will own and get the benefits from that particular renewable energy.
Be paid a tariff for whatever, any excess that goes into the grid.
Absolutely. And they can decide then, once they've got this vehicle, which happens to be the energy cooperative, they can decide how best to use that in their own community. So they could be helping for job creation. They could be putting in electric vehicle charge points. They can be doing so many different things if they have got a guaranteed income coming into their community. So that would allow for real change.
A game changer.
A game changer, but it allows for confidence and sustainability, real sustainability. So that's what communities have to have. If that is achieved, then their minds can start looking at other areas. How can we make the schools more energy efficient? How can we keep all of that moving forward? That is the key.
And after my chat with Cormac Walsh, here's who I next got talking with at the Sustainable Energy Communities event in Athlone last June.
My name is Adejoke Olanio Collins. Yes, I'm from Nigeria originally, but I've been living in Ireland for the past 15 years.
Living in Athlone, is it Adejoke, for the last, in recent years?
Yes, Athlone, precisely. And then in the past of 15 years, I've been engaging with communities as well and the like of Westmeath Community Development as
Great.
A community model.
Now, we're here at Adejoke at the Sustainable Energy Communities Conference, which has been hosted by the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, here in Athlone. And what motivated you to come along yourself today at Adejoke?
Yes, thank you. Based on what is going around the world now when it comes to climate change, and even though I said originally I'm from Africa, Nigeria precisely, I'm just fear for the next generation, our children, because we're actually still in their future if nothing is done now, because when we are gone, they are going to be facing some kind of great challenges, you know, which cannot be solved. But then we need to put a plan in place for them to be able to conquer these challenges, you know, just when you put a master plan in place, and then they can follow up and even do it better than, you know, what is in place, what we have put in place for them.
Right. In other words, have to sow the seeds and lay a foundation for the next generation, because if we don't take action now, there's serious consequences down the line.
Exactly. And that's why we need to come back to the community, the need for. And when those young ones see us doing all this, you know, and they said, yeah, this is quite challenging, you know, just like the man that gave us the first talk, he said
this is the first talk today that would have been given here in the conference. Yeah, sorry, I had a joke.
Yes, please. He said every opportunity is a challenge, and then we must ready to face this challenge and then battle this climate change.
Right. And Adejoke, what would your vision be for the future? Say by the year 2030 or thereabouts, you know, what would you like to see, you know, not just in Ireland, you know, a greener, more sustainable Ireland, but also even your own native Nigeria and the wider world, please.
My mission is big. I dream to have a better energy communities, you know, for each country in Africa. And that's one of my main motive, joining SEAI. Connecting to SSE and Energy Co-op, because I know when I gain the skills, the knowledge, then I can now translate it, you know, I can transform it, you know, into African model that suits people, because we know that a lot of our communities in Africa, they are left behind when in terms of these better energy communities, you know. So I joined them because I could be more empowered, you know, and be able to carry this vision back to Africa. And because here, our own target is 2050. And then in Africa, we have not much target yet, you know. So I'm just in a dilemma. Where are we now, you know?
Right, and this is a global phenomenon. I mean, obviously, climate change affecting the entire world, and so it's a global endeavour, but there's obviously countries all over the world. Some are leading the way, such as Sweden, doing great things in renewables, mm-hmm. and Denmark with wind energy and whatnot. But really what you're saying, the joke is that, you know, you'll get the skills here in Ireland, mm-hmm. learn from the sustainable energy communities in Ireland, mm-hmm. and try and give something back to your own native land. Am I right, yeah?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Because I've read about Germany, how they did it. They are about, if I'm right now, almost 90-something percent development in the area of renewable energies.
Wow. Energy for society, Germany.
For Germany. And same in Denmark, same in Spain. And then Ireland is coming on board because I remember 2015, I came here in AIT at Lund and I did green engineering, which is basically talking about renewable energies, and then we were promising good jobs. But then I never let the dream go, because since then I got it up here. Look, I really have a lot to give back to the world, you know, especially back to my community, you know, both here in Ireland and in Nigeria, you know. I love to give back, you know, to the communities, you know, because once you've been raised with that community, you must always be aspiring to give back. And then I see that, yeah, it worked. And then if it's working, and if it has worked, then it can work in Africa.
This is an open letter from you and me together. Tomorrow's in our hands now.
Find the words that matter, say them out loud. I'll make it better somehow.
Looking down from up on the moon is a tiny blue.